Good morning.
Good morning.
In Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, we are reminded of the time. This is the moment, Paul writes, to awake from sleep. Let us listen together for God's word. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
It's a signal. My microphone is not working. So I'll try to talk to you this one. So our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Matthew's gospel, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Jesus is waiting. I'm talking about many signs and wonders. So let us listen together for God's word. But nobody knows when that day or hour will come. Not the heavenly angels and not the Son. Only the Father knows. As it was in the time of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the human one. In those days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. They didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. The coming of the human one will be like that. At that time, there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, stay alert. You don't know what the day the Lord is coming. But you understand that if the head of the house knew at what time the thief would come, he would keep alert and wouldn't allow the thief to break into his house. Therefore, you also should be prepared, because the human one will come at a time you don't know. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. Dear ones, let's be together in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, your readings are difficult this morning. Talking about choices, talking about staying awake. Help us to hear what you have to say. Expand us, open us, widen us, and deepen us. Prepare us for this Advent journey and for the Christ who will come and will come again. Amen. So it is easy to be asleep while being awake. Take this for example. Most mornings, not every morning, but most mornings when I wake up, I've got these two questions that sort of percolate in the back of my brain without even really thinking about them. Right? The two questions are, what time is it? And what am I going to wear? I don't think about them. They just sort of happen as I put my foot on the floor from the bed, as I flick on the light, as I take my morning shower, as I work my way by autopilot down to the coffee grinder. So here's the scary part, that as I do this, as I walk around like that guy from the old Dunkin' Donuts commercials, you remember, time to make the donuts, as I do that in this state of waking sleep, I'm not mindful of the importance that these questions have in my life, that these questions that I ask and I answer with so little thought, how much those shape my life. I mean, what time I rise and what clothes I put on my body determine to some extent what I will do and what I will experience and whose lives I will touch along the way. It is amazing to me, the more I think about it, that I answer these questions in this state of waking sleep. Which makes me wonder, of course, what other important questions I ask or answer with so little thought in a state of waking sleep. Wesley McNair is the poet laureate of Maine, and he writes about this state of waking sleep in a poem that he titles simply, Sleep. It has a little bit of a swear word in it, so careful. The young dog would like to know why we sit so long in one place, intent on a box that makes the same noises and has no smell whatever. Get out, we tell him when he asks us by licking the back of our hand, which has small hairs almost like his. Other times, the dog finds us motionless with papers in our lap or at a desk looking into a humming square of light. Soon the dog understands we are not looking exactly, but sleeping with our eyes open. Then he goes to sleep himself. Is it us, he cries out to, moving his legs somewhere beyond the rooms where we spend our lives? We don't think to ask, upset as we are in the end with a dog who has begun throwing the old shabby coat of himself down on every floor or rug in the apartment. Sleep, we say. All that damn dog does is sleep. It's easy to be asleep while being awake. So Paul, the writer of all of those New Testament letters, you could say a lot of things about Paul. But one thing you can't say about Paul is that he was asleep while being awake. He was excited about God for his whole life, it seems. He spent much of his early life studying the law and teaching the law and trying to get others to follow God's law. And his excitement moved him at points to prosecute followers of Jesus who he thought were undermining God's law. But there was this moment, you see, he was on a road to Damascus when he has this encounter, this vision of Jesus, and it for him is a conversion moment. Where he goes from persecuting followers of Jesus to being a follower of Jesus himself. Now, a lot of things change for Paul on the road to Damascus, but one thing that does not change is his unwillingness to be asleep while being awake. So for years after the Damascus road, he travels around the Mediterranean with energy and passion and purpose, telling people about Jesus and sacrificing everything for the sake of the gospel. Now, as we, I think, found out in our Paul study class these last couple of months, one of the themes running throughout Paul's letters is a theme of urgency. You see, because Jesus Christ had come into the world, his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus thought that the history was going to end. Because of what God was doing in Jesus Christ, he thought that the new world was breaking into the old and the old was dissolving. I mean, like fully, like immediately, like right here and right now. And our choice, he thought, was for us to choose the new versus the old. He put it in stark terms like that. He put it in these black and white dualistic terms. Choose Jesus and live. Choose something else and die. He puts that fine of a point on it. Because Paul was fully awake, and he wanted us to be awake too. So he runs around the Mediterranean ringing like an alarm clock. So we see this in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. It's just a short little passage, but we see there clearly that Paul is ringing loudly. Wake up! He screams. Ask these two questions. What time is it? And what will you wear? Will you put on Jesus or something else? So we read Paul's urgency today, and it seems a little misguided, maybe. I mean, the world did not end as soon as Paul thought it would. And so we feel this urgency, and it feels a little misguided, a little silly, or just seems plain wrong to us. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we hear Paul's urgency, And maybe it's true, I think it is true, that that urgency has been replaced in the church and in us too often with the waking sleep. What's the hurry, we say? What's the rush? Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years. Certainly there's time left to work things out. I wonder, and I did wonder this week, about this tension here between the urgency that was and the urgency maybe that isn't there so much anymore. I wonder about Syria and the people who are dying there today. I wonder if they feel like there's time left to work things out. But you don't have to go there. What about the people freezing on the streets of Burlington? Those who are hungry today, are they willing to take the long view? What about you? What about your neighbors that are broken and breaking? What about those near and far who are aimless and wandering and addicted, perhaps, and spiritually starving? Is there time left to slow things down? I like he's in. He's involved. That's good. So, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. The new world has been breaking into the old for a long time, and yet the fires within the church and within us, if we're honest, often burn down to embers. And the work of God, the healing of God's people, the building of God's kingdom of peace and justice, it moves along at a snail's pace, if at all. Meanwhile, God's people suffer and struggle. Meanwhile. So it's good that it's Advent. It's good that Advent starts today because it is in the season of Advent where we have alarm clocks all over the place. We've got voices like Paul and Isaiah and John the Baptist and Mary and Jesus who remind us that Jesus has come and will come again. We've got the season of Advent to remind us that the heavens are bending low to touch the earth. We've got the season of Advent to remind us that the new world is breaking again into the old. All of the alarm clocks of the church are ringing so loudly, inviting us to move from a state of waking sleep to being awaking awake. So two questions. We wonder, what time is it and what should we wear? And from long ago and far away, Paul rings loudly and urgently, it's time to wake up and to put on Christ. It's time to wake up and put on Christ. It's time to wake up and put on Christ. It is time to wake up and put on Christ. So I wonder, what time it is and what should I wear? Questions to carry with you in this season of Advent. As you wake, awake, as you consider. Just had to drive the point home. Dear ones, wake up and put on Christ. Amen.